Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 378 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week we're going to talk a little Playhouse Nashville and their latest upcoming production of Garrett Snyder's play Ultrasound. And so joining me in studio is Christopher Bozen and playwright Garrett Snyder. And joining me in a separate interview via Skype in Skypeland is actor Rebecca Durham. So we're going to get into those conversations. I'm so excited, guys. I have a voicemail to share with you, so it's going to be a fun time. So we're going to get into all of that stuff just after, you guessed it, these brief messages. Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children, are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
Alright, so I'm joined in Studio 1103 by playwright Garrett Snyder and director Christopher Bozen of Playhouse Nashville, and we're going to talk Garrett's play Ultrasound. So welcome, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
I'm doing great.
Doing great.
Yeah, Studio 1103's got the Cardinal baseball on the TV. You watch that.
I love the wall sconces.
Nice. Well, it's we aim to please here and make our guests feel welcome. Go the extra mile.
It's nice.
So, Ultrasound, give us the kind of brief overview to hook us in, and then let's talk a little bit about process.
Yeah, I think that Garrett's got his elevator pitch, right?
Yeah, of course. So the basic idea is that you have these two women, okay? Two women in a wonderful relationship, 8 years. You know, it like all relationship works on a varying levels of dysfunction, you know? but it's them, so it works. Right. And then they've been trying for 4 months to have this kid, okay? And then it doesn't work. You know, they take a break for a month. And then Maddie, the one who's, you know, going to be carrying this baby, says, "Hey, babe, I'm pregnant. It worked." And the resulting conversation is what kind of fuels the rest of the play.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's you have somebody who's like excited, who's ready for this change, and then someone who's so against change that they summon their daughter from the future to kind of talk her into doing this and to navigate her through these waters of parenthood.
Okay, so we've got the pregnant lady and the child is coming. The future
Maddie.
Child is coming back.
And then Angela's the future child.
And so, do we get into time paradoxes and all that kind of stuff?
No, it's more like a reflection of what's.
I mean,
what
is she still in the gestation period? So does that create a time vortex?
Well, I mean, it's funny because Laura Crockerell, who I know you know, mm-hmm. actually plays Angela, the daughter from the future. And as we were workshopping the play and working on it, there were some of these questions of how much does a baby from the future know when they come back to talk to their mother, and how aware are they? And so Garrett has been, you know, fine tuning those things. And Laura was upset because she was like, "Do you mean I don't get a sonic screwdriver? I love time traveling." You know? So we have, it really is, the play kind of, you see the play through Jolene's eyes, You know, our set design and everything is about this PhD, this cancer research scientist who sees everything in very linear terms and very ordered.
Yeah, very myopic.
Yeah. And so her conversations with Angela, you know, can be experienced as her own inner voice in a way.
So what as the playwright, what went, this is the story I want to write about. How did you get the gem, I guess, to start this off?
Yeah, well, it actually started in Playhouse Nashville. There's a 10-minute play festival that they have, you know, every 3-4 months. And I submitted this 10-minute play about this scientist who kind of just focuses on genes and focuses on switching genes and kind of dominant and recessive and fixing that. And the reason why that the scientists wanted to fix that is because of their own personal problems. And so when I have a child, I don't want them to have my problems. I want them to be the best possible.
Sure.
And then
which is not far fetched by technology standards.
Right.
Now, right.
Right. Right. And so the 10-minute play kind of focuses on that. And the scientist was a male, and focuses on like kick on his desires, and then his wife comes in, and the only way that she can tell him that she's pregnant is by kind of role playing her daughter, their child, and explaining what the work is. Mm-hmm. And it went pretty well. I thought it was very well received. They did a wonderful job with it. And the next year, so last year, I was accepted in the Ingram residency through Tennessee Repertory Theater. And I pitched this play, which is the full length of that 10-minute. Mm. And so it kind of grew from there. It was exciting because I was like, yes, this is something that can happen. This is something that, you know, kind of can bring forward. And then so much has changed and so much has grown out of that one little seed.
Right.
It's really cool.
So it kind of had two kind of growth sessions with mm-hmm. Tennessee Rep and now with Playhouse Nashville. So
yeah.
How is that? Has it, would you say it's a continuation of the previous work, or have you come in and went, oh, wait a minute, let's do this? And has it gone in kind of a different direction than what you expected from your Tennessee Rep workshop?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the core, and the way that I write is the core doesn't really change. Like the presentation, like the idea that I wanted to get across, the things that I wanted to deal with, to grapple with is the same. Mm-hmm. The vessel has been kind of changed. It's like you get this, you know, old car from your grandfather's garage, and it's still the same chassis, still the same kind of basic things. But you have to fix the engine, you got to do the paint job, you got to sand it down, you got to maybe get in new pieces. But the frame itself is the same, mm-hmm. and so the frame of this play is the same. But the changes have been the surface changes have been so kind of sweeping that, you know, it was sweeping in Ingram, and it's been sweeping in the rehearsal process for this production. Mm-hmm. As I'm uncovering and like clarifying and focusing what I'm saying as best as possible.
So when did you put on the 22s? Was that at the one with the little wheel, or did you go gonna blow it out big?
Well, it's got it. The room's got to spin. Okay. I think that's the really big thing.
Okay.
I mean, at Ingram, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but like the first big change, wasn't it Teresa Rebeck as the fellow who sort of suggested a gender change?
No, I came up with that. See, originally in the full length, it was husband, wife, and then daughter. Mm-hmm. And because when I think, like, you know, there's two parts of it. There's like, you know, your instinct response, and then there's the response that you should have had at the beginning. You know, we all mm-hmm. have this. We're like, oh, I should have, like, you know, what do you want? Pizza. Well, then, like, you know, you get the pizza, like, well, I guess maybe I wanted a sub. That's the right answer. Mm-hmm. And so when I wrote this, my instinctual response is, okay, family equals mother, father, daughter. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I'm the father. I'm a man. So that means that's my point of view. Father, done. And then I wrote this and I was like, this isn't right. This doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. This isn't something that feels true. I'm just caught in these stupid tropes. I mean, and this is Nashville. I have so many amazing female artists, so many amazing female, like, you know, so much amazing actresses. Why should I confine the script, and then confine everything to just this traditional male, female centered thing? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, what if I do this? What if I change this? And as soon as I changed it to two women who are having a baby, everything opened. Because if two women have a baby, that's a planned pregnancy. Mm. You can't accidentally get pregnant.
Right.
You know? Right. It can't be like, oops. Well, like, so, where did that come from? You know?
I just wanted a loaf of bread.
Yeah. Right. So by having that, like that even just started opening everything up.
Right.
And it's been such... Does that make sense?
It does. It absolutely does. And I mean, some of the questions that it brought up, I think, or that it highlighted about the play was how does a parent who is not the not biologically mm-hmm. related mm-hmm. someone else connect to them? And as I looked at the play, when we picked it up, you look at at the culture, at the society, the number of kids who are living in adoptive homes or parents that are step parents. We have a lot of families who are not comprised of biologically related people.
Right. Right.
And so that makes it a much more universal story to me.
And some people who even are biological, you know, they grow up and they don't know their parents. They don't know their father. They don't know their mother. Mm-hmm. And so even though a parent may be there, they're not actually there.
Right.
And so I think this is a lot more... There's kind of a way to get in on that. And it makes you rethink. As a writer, it's exciting because it makes you rethink instinctual choices. You know, you have a father, a overprotective paternal father, and you have tropes that fall in with that.
Right.
Well, the tropes are different. The tropes are out of my instinctive knowledge zone mm-hmm. when I created, you know, a wife and a wife. Mm-hmm. And so then I got to actually have reasons for their behavior as opposed to saying, oh, well, in our... You know, patriarchal society, the man has to be afraid of his daughter and, you know, all that stuff.
So changing that, did I mean, obviously it's not about necessarily the homosexual relationship, but did you feel like, did you have to vet, like, someone going, is this how, you know, did that worry that you were representing a lesbian couple, I don't want to say fairly, but accurately maybe,
The way that I think about it is that love is love. And you can have male-female, male-male, female-female, but the point of it is that in order to have a functional relationship, and I wanted to show a functional relationship, you have to have respect, you have to have love, and you have to have knowledge of the other person. So as long as I have those three core things, that's okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, no.
And you know, Rebecca Durham and Corey Lamel, who are both in the show, you know, when we sat down for the first read, one of the things, or even before that, probably during audition, one of the things they said was what they really liked about the script was that it just presents these women as married.
Right.
You know, it doesn't delve into gay marriage issues. It doesn't delve in. It's not that kind of a play. It's a play about family, just like Garrett just explained. And they both, you know people, and they're like, yeah, we have friends that say, you know, we're in relationship. And I think it becomes a story about parenting and about family, which is, you know, what I relate to. You know, I have two kids at home, but I was certainly the one in the relationship who was like, this is going to turn things upside down. Are you, my wife, like, are you sure? Like, are we really, this is what we're going to do? And I, you know, those infant years were not my favorite time. I have to say, I mean, my son's 8 now, you know, my daughter will be 7 this summer, and they're getting into that range of, okay, now I get this. And, I wasn't like right out of the gate, like these people like, oh, enjoy every diaper change and every moment. That was not
me. See, I'm on the opposite side. I got a 9.5-month-old.
Oh, wow.
And I love it. I love everything about it. It's like the diaper, it's the diaper change. I'm like a ninja with that diaper change. I try to get him dressed up in cool outfits every morning, you know. I mean, like a tie, you know, he's got to look nice when he goes to daycare. And it's exciting. I love it.
You just wait for that in between. Because my son's 7, he's, you know, when they, but yeah, the littleness of it is really cool. And then when they kind of get into that sort of 2 to 3 kind of thing where they're, you know, the terrible twos. My son's case was terrible threes, but that's it changes a little bit.
Well, that's when we'll start learning programming. That's the goal there.
No, that is true. My son's like all over the computer and iPad, and just do that and do that, and it just comes intuitive. So God knows what job he's going to do in the future because it'll be invented. It hadn't been invented yet. So what brings Playhouse Nashville to the what spoke to Plays Nashville, like, this is what we want to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, I went to the reading a year ago. Well, less than a year, actually, at the Ingram. And I went to the reading and saw the reading, which had Rebecca Durham was in it, Evelyn O'Neill Brush was in it, and Cara Passapi was in it. And I laughed out loud. I mean, when you put the voice of a child in actresses like Carica Sapir or Laura Crockerell, who's playing Brass, and you hear them, you know, cursing out their parent for not feeding them fast enough or whatever it is they're doing, and the child expressing all those doubts that a parent has, am I doing this right or whatever, was brilliant. I laughed out loud and I related to it myself. And after that, I said to Nate Epler, you know, the co-founder of Playhouse Nashville, that I thought it was a play that we could do and do well. And, you know, we went through the course of the year and we put our other shows on and we kind of came back around. Garrett is a playwright we want to work with. Garrett is one of two playwrights who, in all seven editions of the 10-Minute Playhouse, we've done 90 plays now. He's one of only two playwrights who have been in all seven of those. You know, so he's had seven of his plays perform there. And we wanted to work on a full-length play with him. So we talked about some other ideas. We talked about some different things. And it came back around to ultrasound as being like, this is where we want to be. But Garrett knew, just like you were talking about earlier, that at the end of the Ingram, the play probably wasn't ready for a production right there yet. No. He knew that he had a lot more work to do on it. He put this cast together, and I mean, we got new pages coming in, new work being done on it as a result of what happens in the room.
I bring my printer to the rehearsals now. Yeah. So I can be like, okay.
You know, and to me, that, like, and I think the actresses as well, we told them when before we hired them, we are not just hiring you to be a vessel for a line. You're actually going to come in and be a part of a development process on the play. We need your input. We need your questions. We need a lot more than just a memorization and a performance. And I think that the more we do that, you know, Garrett has been great about diving in with it, but it's what we want to keep doing and what's important to us, because then you're putting new product, new art into the community, and hopefully not just the Nashville community, but the larger theatrical community. I mean, Kenley Smith's Devil's Sedan that we did last August, somebody comes, sees that production, says, I want to do this play in Chicago. And the next thing, you know, it's in Chicago, you know, at a university there, in a production there, and opens up, hopefully, the Chicago market a little bit. Who knows who else may have seen that kind of play there.
Right.
And I hope the same thing for ultrasound, and that we can keep building Nashville as a place that can develop new works. Because it's there aren't a lot of places that know how to do it, and mm-hmm. do it well, and are committed to doing it well.
Right.
And we are, and I, you know, I'm proud of that.
Yeah, one thing that I really love is, like, I'm in the rehearsal room, and then an actress has a question, and then Chris, it's not like, oh, Garrett, why'd you do that? That's a stupid move. No, Chris is like, hey, you know what? That's a really good question. Here's the answer. And then he goes into this rationale behind this, and I'm listening to him explain why this character does this thing. And at the end of his speech to the actress, and then they're like, oh, I get it. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to cut that out now. Because that line is about three sentences, and you took about 10 minutes to explain why those three sentences worked. I think there's a disconnect there that I need to fix. And then just being able to be in the room and hearing them talk about this is amazing. I mean, it's invaluable, and it's something that only Playhouse Nashville can do. I mean, I haven't experienced this anywhere else. This is it's exciting, and it's for the writer. It's amazing.
Okay, cool. So, let's see. When do we open, and how can we get tickets?
We open April 5th. There is an invited preview on the 4th. But official opening Saturday, April 5th. We run through Sunday, April 13th. Performances are at 7:30 Tuesdays through Sundays. We're in residence out at Street Theater Company, 1933 Elm Hill Pike. Tickets are just $20. There are no extra service fees or anything on that. It's $20. You can come in. You can get them at playhousenashville.com. Or you can call us at 669-5792. Get those tickets. And we've got a lot of specials running around out there right now. We've got the Nashville Theater Scavenger Hunt. If you've seen some of these other plays recently, you bring your ticket to your program in. We'll give you $5 off for everyone you saw. Out and About Nashville is our official media sponsor. They're running some stuff through their social media sites. A lot of ways to come see us. We hope you'll come out and experience the play.
Hey, Chris, if I have a bottle of wine and I want to bring it to the show, am I allowed to do that?
Absolutely. Wow. It is a BYOB situation. And also, if you don't have a bottle of wine, Garrett, but you enjoy wine and tasty cheeses, come out on Thursday, April the 10th. We're doing a complimentary pre-show wine tasting with wines from Robin Berg and Wine Shop at Home and cheeses from the Bloomy Rhine. That's complimentary with your ticket. Come in, enjoy some pre-show wine and cheese, and then see the show. The show runs about, it'll run right about in that 90-minute range. So 7:30 curtain, you'll be out of there by 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Doing an intermission or straight through?
You know, we are debating this still. It seems like right as of right now, I would say there's probably not going to be an intermission, but it's a new work in development. We reserve the right to change.
You'll still be out by 9.
You'll still be out by 9.
Cool. Well, thanks, gents, and best of luck. And, of course, all the ticket information, barring the wine tasting, which I don't know if I'll have a link to, but show ticket information will be on www.inexplicabledumbshow.com for this particular episode. So, thanks, guys.
John, thank you. Thank you so much. Always great, man. It's always great to be here, and what you do to spread the word about theater here in Nashville is greatly appreciated.
All right, guys, so I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, last couple weeks ago, SATC came and went, and I was unable to make it due to various reasons. And I issued a challenge to all the IDSers out there to come up and you know, send a voicemail out. Let me know how your SETC experience went and all the exciting news that happened. And we do have a voicemail, and I'm pretty excited about that. I want to share it with you, and I want to make clear that you know, I have not really the guys in the truck screened it. I have not listened to it. So we're gonna give that let's just check it out.
Here. Let's see without one of my other eyeballs so I can see. How about that? Well, let's see. We just dialed 866-1282. I dialed 566-1286. That's not right. You know it's 1282?
Yeah, I'm thinking this.
Is that it?
Yeah.
That's all right. This is
perfect. It's really for me. My phone is for me because I just hit their name.
You said 966-128?
No. 9612.
82. Oh, that's crazy. My phone says here. Hang on, sis. All right.
866-8.
Well, that's better. It's just going back to my home screen. Oh, let me go 645.
When I got in the car, I see my purse is off this way. I just took it off. And then I said, well, you told me to text my granddaughter. And then after I got the text, and I looked on my key, but I had to have the key to get in here because I locked the door. So I'll open up the door and
start looking at it. Oh, that wasn't what I, okay, yeah, moving on. So I'm joined here shortly by Rebecca Durham. She can make it into the actual studio today. And so we were able to call her on Skype, via Skype. So here is our conversation. Well, IDSers, I'm joined by actor Rebecca Durham, and we're going to talk a little bit about Garrett Snyder's play Ultrasound and all that is going on there. So welcome, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Mr. Malden. How are you?
Oh, Mr. Malden. That's nice.
Yeah.
I'm doing well. So tell me a little, who are you playing in this play, and how's it going, and what's exciting, and what's been your challenges? And I'm going to just throw a bunch of questions at you and let you go.
Fantastic. I am playing Maddie, Jolene the scientist's wife. And what have been my challenges? Well, that's the beauty of this specific creative process. It is a creative process at its finest, because as we rehearse, we are also getting rewrites immediately, on the spot, the next day, all the time. It's fantastic. The things that we're doing in the rehearsal process are informing the playwright of where he really wants the situation to go and the relationships to go. And it's kind of extraordinary. There's so, I mean, in any creative process, there's lots of, you know, energy flowing back and forth, but this is exceptional. Absolutely exceptional. What I love the most about this play is that it's a play about a relationship and about parenting. However you come to that role of parent. And so that's a universal situation for so many people.
So who else is in the cast with you, and how has the process helped define your relationships with their characters and so on?
Certainly. We're very, very fortunate with this cast, because we have women that are very comfortable with new works and the process of developing new plays for the stage. Corianne Lamel, the owner-operator of the Theater Bug, is my wife, and she's extraordinary. And your Nashville's going to see her in a way they've never seen her before. And of course, the lovely and equally as giant as myself, Laura Crockerell, is my daughter, which makes perfect sense. She is also a writer herself, as is Corey. So they understand the writer's process and how the actors inform the writer's process. And so we're all having this extraordinary creative experience.
So what has been the biggest challenge here, since it is a fresh working process and developing story as you're going through the rehearsal process? What's been the biggest challenge?
Sure. You come to a certain point in any rehearsal process, even with a well-known work, where you second-guess your choices and the things that you're doing, and then so the director is there to guide you in the directions for the good of the production. And we've kind of come to that sooner than normal, because it's changing so much. And so you just have to put on your adaptability pants and wear them every single day, and just be ready to change at a moment's notice. Your motivation for your character and the process behind how you get there, because the words on the page are changing with you every minute. So it's challenging, but challenging in a great way, in a way that reminds you why you're in this business in the first place.
So how do you think you've grown as an artist in this process?
Wow, great question. I started with this particular piece at the Ingram New Works Lab as Garrett was originally developing it, and was playing the role of Jolene, Corey Lamel's role now. And so my particular process has been one coming from all sides. So I'm very excited to jump into the other character's skin, having been in Jolene's skin. And it informed where he was at that time, but now Corey is informing his new direction with the playwright, with the writing. And so I get to jump into the other role, the role that I wasn't inhabiting before. So that is very rare. Especially for me, it's incredibly rare and a gift to get to be a part of it all the way around.
Cool. Now, Chris and Garrett are here dutifully sitting quiet while we have what I'm saying to you is they can't hear you. So you can be candidly honest on how it is to work with these two gentlemen, and no one will be the wiser.
Okay, John, don't except tell anybody.
Except
but
for the
truth is,
yeah.
Don't tell anybody. This just stays between me and you, right?
Yeah, we are not recording this.
They're the smartest guys. No, they are the smartest guys. They're so smart. And it's a play about women, and they happen to be men, but they're just open. They're open to everything that we have to say, to the directions that the process takes. And so don't tell anybody, but they're fairly awesome.
Well, okay, well, how does the fact that it is a play about women, but yet the writers and the director are male, how does that play into... I mean, does that play into the perception of anything, or does it affect? I mean, how did you feel addressing that situation? Did that bother you at all?
I feel like it's kind of cool because gender schmender, really. There aren't enough roles, great roles for women, and but this play isn't about the fact that they're women. Mm-hmm. It's about the fact that they're in a relationship. And they're taking on the new role of parents and how they deal with that. And their gender doesn't really define how they deal with that. They're human, and they're adults, and they're taking on new roles in their lives. And they just happen to be women. It could be with all men. I'm sure it would inform his writing a little differently, but not drastically, because the themes are relationships, navigating a relationship, and navigating the new role of parenting. And men and women deal with that universally.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for your time, Rebecca.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you, John, for the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
When guests can't appear in studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the Download Skype button. Go ahead. Join in the fun.
All right, so that's it. I'd like to thank Christopher Bozen, Garrett Snyder, Rebecca Durham for joining me literally and virtually today to chat about Garrett's play, Ultrasound, which is Playhouse Nashville's opening production this coming week. So that's pretty exciting. The ticket information that we talked about during the body of the interview with Christopher and Garrett will be found on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Next week, we're going to talk a little, I have Cecilia Lighthall joining me, and we're going to talk a little Tennessee Reps production of Company, and then we'll start our Humana coverage, so that's pretty exciting stuff. So if you want to be part of the Dumb Show, reach out, please, and be part of the Dumb Show by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282, or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com, or follow the show on Twitter, @InexplicableDS, @ Inexplicable, D, S. Find the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So next week, again, we're going to talk to Cecilia Lighthall, Tennessee Rep, and Company. So until next week, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
Blue. This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY .com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.